Hello, Worlene Marks, how are you?
Good afternoon, Kathy, and Shavuot Tov to you and your listeners, even though Shavuot started 2 days ago. But you know where I am on this end.
Ooh.
Wait, where is she on that end?
She went away. There you are. Okay, now we can hear you. All right, so Worlene, tell us about Shabbat. And what's happened
into Shabbat, we did have notification that there were Sevadom or red alert sirens in the Hof Ashkelon area just a matter of minutes ago. But the IDF have said that the siren was triggered by projectiles that fell inside the Gaza Strip. So we are preparing for another night of possible rocket and mortar attacks. But let's take a look at what happened this past weekend, a horrible Shabbat for our southern citizens and my citizens of Sderot, as over 200 rockets and mortars were fired towards Israel's southern citizens. Now, it's worse than the previous time that we covered quite extensively, but the big difference is that we haven't heard from the international community as much as we heard the last time. This is fitting in with Hamas's policy, or their new policy, or strategy rather, of controlled violence. So they will go through these intermediate moments of firing these non-stop barrages of rockets and mortars towards Israel, but they'll do this so strategically and intermittently. Their modus operandi is to start in the early hours of the morning, and knowing that it was Shabbat, it made it particularly hurtful. This sent over 100,000 civilians into their shelters for the entire weekend. Now, Kathy, just to give an example of what the day was like, my phone, which is on during the day and downloads the alerts as they come in, did not stop. It was one after the other, after the other, after the other. Now, if I am an hour away from Gaza, feeling traumatized by what is happening in the south, you can only imagine what the civilians of the south are feeling.
I have no doubt, because when I switched my phone on after Shabbat, all of a sudden 141 red alerts came through to my phone straight away.
It's a horrible, horrible scenario. But just to recap, our listeners, a rocket did hit the courtyard of a shul. Thank goodness it was at a time where people were between services for the day. Another hit a house, causing injuries to a family of four. The 52-year-old father complaining of chest pains, a 17-year-old daughter sustaining shrapnel wounds to her face. A very, very traumatic weekend for Israel citizens of the south, indeed. Yeah. Which brings us on to the next story.
Hold on one second. I just want to tell you, in that house in Sderot that was hit, my first cousin's son was one of the first responders on there. And, they were dodging these rockets. And we don't think about that. You know, absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Well, just remember that civilians who are in the Gaza periphery areas only have 15 seconds to find shelter. And I want, when you are off air or you're not listening anymore, please to count to 15. And I want you to think about what it is like for those civilians to run to shelter, or for parents to make those decisions to get small children and family pets into those shelters. Horrible visuals coming in from around the south of children having to sleep on the stairs of apartment buildings, running for shelter, and spending virtually their entire Shabbat inside these safe rooms. And this has prompted the IDF to deploy more Iron Dome batteries. Thank goodness for the Iron Dome. I tell you, it's a miracle. I can't even say gadget, because it's bigger than a gadget, but it's smaller than what you would expect an anti-missile battery to look like. But thank goodness for them, we do have a situation where they have been rolled out to the areas around Tel Aviv and to the south as well. I haven't checked if Iron Dome has come to Modi Inn, because we are quite close to the airport, and our Iron Dome normally protects not just the citizens of Modi Inn, but also the airport. support as well. And yes, as of yesterday morning, there was a ceasefire that was broken by Hamas, who managed to fire about 4 rockets into the state of Israel as well.
I was listening this morning to Anthony Reich, who says it's absolutely inevitable, that war is inevitable. What's your thought?
To say that war is inevitable, I think that we are heading towards some kind of escalation. I don't like to say war, but I would say that we are possibly heading towards some kind of escalation. We have to define how we as Israel are responding to these new tactics of Hamas. You know, this is not a situation where you go all in and one strike will take them all out. This is a very, very lengthy process. It's a process that is fought on multiple levels, not just from within from Gaza, but it is also stopping the shipment of weapons, the transportation of weapons. This is why we have a maritime blockade in place. It's about engaging our neighbors or countries such as Egypt as well, because it is in their interest that any kind of weapons smuggling stops. And of course, as we know all too well, Kathy, it plays out in the media and in our diaspora communities as well. So, you know, before we use words like war, I think we have to be very, very conscious of how this plays out.
All right. So I'm just trying to work out how the firing of, and there was retaliatory fire. They were firing, both sides were firing at each other. How firing from one side 200 rockets or missiles into Israel is not an act of war, and how Israel firing back is not an act of war. Because that, in my mind, and when I speak to military experts this side, they say that for all intents and purposes, Israel is in a state of war right now. What's your thought?
Well, we don't like to use the W word, because the W word, war, has all kinds of connotations. It has all kinds of implications. It has implications on our economy. It has implications on numerous other areas. We are, as we have been for the last 70 years, in a state of, we could say, not permanent conflict, because there is sometimes a lull between conflicts. You know, I've said it before, that peace is what happens between these kind of scenarios. We don't know what it's like to have a lasting peace, except with our treaties with countries like Egypt and Jordan. But we also have a state of escalation with Syria as well, with projectiles being launched from Syria into Israeli territory as well. So I think that for Israel, we're very, very careful how we define this. The rules of engagement state that we are absolutely well within our rights to respond to these kind of attacks. And Israel uses, we use our technology and our intelligence very, very smartly to make sure that when we do retaliate, it is with pinpoint precision and does not harm civilians. But we do know that we are fighting an asymmetrical conflict, where we are dealing with a terror entity that not only wants our destruction, but seems to want the destruction of their civilian population as well, by hiding out and firing from within that infrastructure.
And that's where we leave it this evening with Rolene Marks. Thank you very, very much, Rolene, and we wish you a safe and quiet evening. That's Rolene Marks. If you've missed the podcast, you can pick it up on our website, chaifm.com.